Song of Solomon 1, the book of, as it's called, the Canticles, Song of Solomon. We'll read verses 1 to 6. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor or the fragrance of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Verse 5, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were very angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. We pray that you would open this passage up to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we desire to have, Father, revelation and illumination in this passage. Father, we, Lord, realize to the unspiritual carnal mind this will be a cryptic passage. It will not be understood nor appreciated. But Father, we desire, O God, to walk with thee into this beautiful love story, Father, written by Solomon by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us, Father, reveal it to us, open it to us. Father, we should experience this love in our own personal lives. Father, the love of Christ. Lord, help us. Bless those that couldn't be with us tonight. Father, we pray, Father, for every situation, for the sick. Lord, we pray for Yvette, whose truck overheated. Well, we pray that you'd work that out. We just pray that you'd have your hand upon all of those that aren't here. We think of Yvette and Tom and Wita as well. For Michelle, Lord, all of those that aren't with us this night, well, we pray for them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the expressions of love communicated between this man and this woman is the love that should exist between Christ and his church. Now you see, I should have left out should. If indeed you are a Christian, this love exists between you and Christ, between Christ and his church. If you're a child of God, this love should not be foreign to you. It should be active and fervent in your heart toward Christ. You should know it personally by faith and by experience. This love is presented to the eyes of our understanding as a love story between one man and one woman. I say one because I'm going to read a passage to you about Solomon in a moment. I do not believe this to be literally written of Solomon or of his relationship or relationships with his many wives. Turn back to 1 Kings. I want to read this to you, 1 Kings 11, just to kind of set the table for this. 1 Kings 11 and verse 1, it's written of Solomon. It says in verse 1, but Solomon, King Solomon rather, loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these women in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now, Nehemiah 13:26, I'll just read it to you if you're not there. But in Nehemiah 13:26, when the people of Israel had taken many strange wives, this passage is written of Solomon, verse 26, 13, 26. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. You think he was beloved of his God after all of that? And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him, just when you think it couldn't be you, here the wisest mortal to ever walk the planet, with wisdom given to him from God, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Solomon was a man who loved many strange women, women who drew his heart away from the Lord, his God. Nonetheless, he was inspired by the Spirit of God to write this story of this sincere and singular love between Christ and his church. This love, which I do not believe he ever experienced with any of his 700 wives or princesses, as beautiful and as comely as they were outwardly, he never experienced this love with one of them. Now, I don't think we'll get past verse 3, but let's look back at Solomon and let's just pick up. And I know I've said some things already about verse 2, but go back to verse 2, Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 2. Notice the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And then it is an abrupt opening to the letter. It's an abrupt opening. Now, let me introduce you to some of the characters of this song as we open it up, because I want to do that first. Now, first we're going to see, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, but I want you to know who some of the characters are that we're going to see in some of these first chapters. You'll see, O thou whom my soul loveth. You'll see him whom my soul loveth. You'll see my beloved and my friend. You'll see my love, my fair one. You'll see the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. I believe these to be the names of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You'll see, O thou fairest among women, my spouse, my love, my sister, my dove, my undefiled, O prince's daughter. I believe this to be the church. Then you'll see sincere believers, I believe, lovers of Christ and lovers of Christ alone. We'll see that, I think, in verse 4. Those are the virgins. We will read of those who seem to be true believers, and yet they do not yearn after Christ like the bride or like the virgins. These are the outer court and not the inner sanctuary Christians, babes in Christ. I think these are the daughters of Jerusalem. There are those who are called to watch for enemies within and without the gates of Jerusalem, as applied to us, watchmen in the church, pastors, teachers. These profess the final character, they profess faith in Christ. They're actually enemies, I believe, to the bride. These false brethren are called my mother's children. My mother's children. Now, as we open the Song of Solomon, again, it's an abrupt opening. The woman and the spouse, the bride, is speaking of her beloved. She refers to his kisses, his love, his name. In these first verses, his name she describes as ointment that has been unsealed and poured out, which gives a sweet fragrance, gives his fragrance. Because of her love for him, she is able to naturally and spontaneously speak of him and describe all that she loves about him. Her words are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That means words spoken upon his wheels, words that are not dragged out or forced out, but words that just flow from the heart. They come out quite spiritually, naturally. She then expresses her desire to be drawn to her beloved, after which time she will run after him. And finally, she speaks of being brought into his intimate presence, into the king's chambers. I don't think we'll actually make it there tonight. But let's go back to verse 2. Solomon writes, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Now, there is no doubt in my mind at this point that she knows and has experienced the love of the one whom she calls her beloved. She has experienced it. And yet, as the Song of Solomon opens so abruptly, her beloved is not with her. She says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." She longs, she yearns for his presence. And so she breaks forth with the yearnings of her heart for his presence, so that she would once again personally experience his expressions of love to her. One of the expressions of her love is the kisses of his mouth, and that's what she expresses toward him. Note also that this woman, this bride, she desires the kisses of one man and one man only. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. He is her one true love. No other love will do for her. No other love can come close to or match the love of Christ, beloved. Oh, that we would possess this singular, this sincere love for Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:6. Turn to 1 Corinthians 8:6. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 8:6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Look at verse 5. "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." One Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, one love. Do you remember John chapter 21? John chapter 21, do you remember the Lord's words to Peter? This is after the Lord was raised from the dead. Do you remember that? He says, "Lovest thou me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Lovest thou me? Do you love me?" This woman loved the bridegroom. She loved him. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Beloved, this should be us. We should have a singular and a sincere love for Christ. There should be no other love in this world that eclipses our love for Christ. Not even the love of your wife. I've told people before, in the presence of my wife, I said, "This is my second love." Now, some women might be offended at that. But if Christ is my first love, the best love that she could ever be is my second love. If Christ is my first love. And truly, she is my first love on the earth. And so, beloved, we should have this singular, this sincere love for Christ. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Notice, she wants his kisses only. She wants to experience the expressions of his love. Beloved, have you experienced that? The expressions of the love to Christ? Love from Christ, that is. We'll look more into that, because in 2b, he says, "For thy love is better than wine." Thy love is better than wine. In verse 4 of the same, Solomon writes, "We will remember thy love more than wine." Now turn to Song of Solomon 4:10. Let me show you an amazing statement. Because right now the bride is confessing that his love is better than wine. We know the love of Christ is always perfect. We know that it is always unwavering. We know that it is always a constant toward his people, toward his bride, toward his church. There's never a time when the love of Christ is interrupted for you if you're in Christ. There's never a time when it is. It's always constant. It's disinterested. By disinterested, what I mean is, it doesn't matter what you do, he loves you just the same. And I don't want to say it doesn't matter what you do as if nothing matters. Yes, everything matters, but he loves us through the thick and the thin. He loves us when we sin against him. I mean, look at his love, his great love commended toward us while we were yet sinners, brethren. But look at Song of Solomon 4:10. This is not written of the bridegroom's love, but of the bride's love. Look at this, 4:10. This is amazing. He says, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices." That's amazing. And if we take that to be the church, beloved, it speaks of our love for Christ. And he says, "How much better is thy love than wine." Now, we looked last time. Wine is said to make the heart glad and merry. And yes, wine will cause you to forget your sorrows for a time. In fact, look at Proverbs 31. Just back up to Proverbs 31. We'll see what Solomon wrote here in verse 6. Solomon writes in Proverbs 31:6, he says, "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more." Well, when the effects of the wine pass, your sorrows and heavy heart will still be with you. But the love of Christ is far better than the best wine, because Christ, in his great love for us, brethren, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows to his cross. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Listen, Solomon brings us into the inner sanctuary of this love that Christ has for his church. And look here, the expression of his love in bearing our griefs. Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, for his great love that he had for us. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." And this was not the chastisement of a father in love, but it was an act of vindictive justice in which the wrath of God was poured out upon the Son of God. And so the chastisement of our peace was secured when the wrath of God was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to that cross in love for his people, for his great love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love. There's no greater love than what we're seeing here, beloved. And that's what's spoken of in the Song of Solomon. "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Psalm 4, verses 7 and 8. The Psalms 4, verses 7 and 8. "Thy love is better than wine," the bride says. His love is better than anything in the world. It's better than any love in the world. It's better than anything that is pleasant in the world. Psalm 4:7, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart The psalmist says, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And so, beloved, this great love is far better than wine, Solomon writes. Listen, once a human soul, and I believe this with all of my heart, once a human soul, once a sinner, a lost sinner, a human soul, personally experiences the love of Christ, once Christ loves you first, you cannot but love Him. Once Christ loves you first, you cannot but love Him. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God, saith the psalmist. Go back to John chapter 14, John 14, 21. John 14, 21. Once a human soul personally experiences the love of Christ, once Christ loves you first, you cannot but love Him. You cannot but love Him back. John 14, 21. Notice here, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's how we express our love to Him. And he that loveth me, notice, shall be loved of my Father. And notice, and I will love him, and look, and will manifest myself to him. Beloved, you will experience that love of Christ. What is the expression of that love? The kisses of His mouth. What are the kisses of His mouth? But the gracious words that proceed out of His mouth. Look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verses 1 and 2. Go back there. Psalm 45. While you're going there, Luke 4:22, when they heard Jesus pick up the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue at the beginning of His public ministry, and He read the Word of God, everybody was fastened on Him. And they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. The gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. Psalm 45, 1, my heart is indicting. It is gushing, overflowing with a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. And so that's what comes out of His lips, brethren. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Song of Solomon 5:16. Go back there. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16. While you're going back there in John chapter 7, after they heard, the soldiers heard Jesus and they went to take Him, what did they say? Never man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, the expressions of his love, brethren. 5:16 of the Song of Solomon, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, she tells the daughters of Jerusalem. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Verse 3 of Song of Solomon 1, he goes on, or she goes on, she says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. When a perfumed ointment sits in a closed up container, when you go buy perfumed ointment at the store and it's closed up in a container, you can't smell it. It's sealed up. It is only after it is unsealed and poured out that the fragrance will fill the room with its pleasant aroma. We could open up a pleasant ointment in here and it would fill the room. Your name identifies your person. He's talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is like or as ointment poured forth. Your name gives your aroma, your reputation. You remember when Jacob's sons went back to that town, and that young man wanted to marry Dinah, their sister. You remember that? And you remember they said, well, y'all, you circumcise yourselves and become like us, and we'll let you marry her. And he loved her very much. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll do it. So all the males, they circumcised themselves. And then I think it was Judah and Simeon, they went in there with the sword and they slew them all. You remember what Jacob said after that? He said, you've made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. That was the fragrance of Jacob's family. Conversely, or in contrast, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ brings forth a sweet savor. Your name identifies your person. When somebody says your name, it identifies you personally. So when the spouse said, thy name is as ointment poured forth, she might as well be saying everything about him was like perfumed ointment poured out. His words, his works, his promises, his graces, everything about him is sweet and lovely. Think about it. In Acts 4:12, when Luke wrote, there is none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. We're not saved by a word, by the word name. We're saved by the person of Christ. It identifies him. So when you say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saying the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other person. When Luke wrote, there's none other name, there's none other person, no other Lord, no other Savior of sinners but this one. When Paul wrote, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Understand that bowing to the name of the Lord Jesus is bowing to the person of Jesus Christ. So when the bride said, thy name is as ointment poured forth, she spoke of his person and everything about him. Thy name, thy person is like a sweet fragrance. Therefore, his name, and again, his name, not again, I didn't say this, but his name, Christ, means the Messiah, the Anointed One. That should be the sweetest of all names to you, child of God. The name of Jesus ought to be sweeter and sweeter because it's not just a word, but that name identifies all of the grace and the love and all of the goodness and compassion and mercy of Christ that's been poured out upon you. Like that very costly and precious ointment, Mary's ointment, do you remember that? John chapter 12, that she poured out after she broke that box that contained it, and then she poured it onto the feet of Christ and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And then what happened? That precious fragrance filled the house. You can't help think at this point of his broken body, of Jesus' broken body and shed blood, the sweet savor of his sacrifice, which God the Father delighted in and received for a world of sinners. She broke that alabaster box of that very precious and costly ointment, and she anointed him with it. And the odor, it says, the aroma, the fragrance filled the house. 1 Peter 2, as we wrap up here. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Thy name is like ointment poured forth. Thy name is like ointment, or as ointment poured forth. Unsealed. You know, if the ointment's inside of the container, it gives off no fragrance unless it's opened up. And so, beloved, it tells us something about us. We can't just keep that all sealed up. The name of Jesus should come forth from our lives It should go forth like ointment poured forth. That should be the fragrance, the aroma of our lives, is the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. It's certainly not my name. A good name is better than precious ointment, saith Ecclesiastes. That good name of Christ is better than any earthly, the best of aromatic ointments. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, we'll close with 2 Corinthians. He is precious to you that believe. He is precious. Second Corinthians, 2:14. Paul writes here, that thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor, notice, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The fragrance, the savor of his knowledge. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. The truth and word of God, the knowledge of God, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is always sweet in the throne room of God. Yes, there are many rejectors out there. Verse 16, to one we are the savor or the fragrance of, to the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Think about those things. The savor of death, still pleasing to God, but the savor of death. See, to some, he's a chief cornerstone. To others, he's a rock of offense. Beloved, back to song as we close. Back to the Song of Solomon. Listen, I pray that you are thinking upon, praying upon, meditating in this study. Beloved, this speaks of the love of Christ for his church. This speaks of a love that you, child of God, should be experiencing, the expressions of his love. In contrast, you should have the heart yearnings of this woman. When she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, she desires them. She's been in his presence. He seems to not be with her at this point. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. And we'll pick up with the virgins next time. But the reason that I believe that he is, in a sense, distant from her here, because in verse 4 she says, draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. Beloved, I pray that you would meditate in, think upon, muse upon these passages. This will be edifying. It'll bring a wonderful joy to your heart. Thy love is better than wine. It's better than the best love in this earth. It's better than the best of what the world has to offer of anything, beloved, of any of its pleasantries. But if this is dull and boring to you, and you're not getting it, you have need to get on your face before God and ask him to open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things out of this book. I pray that the Lord would help you, as I pray that He helps me, helps us all, brethren, as we search for our Lord. If we seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shall we understand. And I pray the Lord would bless this to your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Heavenly Father, I pray. Visit us, I pray. Oh God, help us to understand this love. This love between this man and this woman, between Christ and His church. Oh God, help us to be able to enter into this love. Father, help us, Lord. We know, oh God, that You've changed us. We're new creatures in Christ. Father, we're made for heaven. We're not made for the world, for the earth anymore. And so, Lord, help us to be drawn, as we'll see next time, as the bride cries out to be drawn to the bridegroom. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see this great love, Father, that brought our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins. Oh God, thank You so much for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.